John tells us about this event for at least four reasons. Firstly, as with all he writes in his book, it is written so you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's the confession that Martha makes. You are the Christ, the Son of God. It's the same as Peter makes when Jesus asks, "Who do people say I am?" Perhaps Martha, like Peter, did not fully understand what she had said, any more than Caiaphas did when he calls for a man to die to save the people. Yet she saw her dead brother walk out alive from the cave of his tomb. The sign witnessed that all who trust in Jesus will have life in his name. Secondly, John tells us these things precisely because Lazarus died. It is strange but true that the gospel good news is often only realised in our lives through experiences of bad news. Lazarus falls sick. His sisters appeal to Jesus, just as we pray for those we love who fall sick. Yet Jesus does not heal Lazarus. He does not prevent his death. Lazarus dies. Yet the sisters do not lose their trust in Jesus. Sometimes, sadly, the death of a dear one does cause some to give up on Jesus. Like the onlookers who said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Such thinking can be a short step from that question to the conclusion that Jesus did not do it because he could not do it. Now, in the event, that's confounded by what happens next. But when our loved ones die, the thought may enter in, Jesus did not save them. Perhaps because he cannot save them. And so all this truth that I invested in him has turned out to be false, and I will give up on him. For when my loved one needed him most, he did not answer my prayers. It can be very hard, but we need to step back from our own particular pain. Remember King David, whose first child by Bathsheba became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted. He spent nights lying on the ground. That would have been in prayer. But on the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. They feared David might do something desperate. But when they told him, what did he do? He ceased his prayer and fasting. He ate. He washed. He changed his clothes. He went and worshipped the Lord. He explained to them, they were quite puzzled by all this. He fasted and prayed in the hope that the Lord would spare the child. But when the child died, he ceased to do so because he could not bring the child back to life. He himself was helpless in the face of death. Yet he also said to them, "I will go to him." David surely said more than he knew. He and his child would meet again in the paradise of those who trust in God. And this healing of Lazarus has national and world consequences. Now, When it first happens, the Pharisees are told of it, and they and the priests call a meeting of Israel's religious rulers, the Sanhedrin. The joy of Martha and Mary at their brother's healing is not shared by the Sanhedrin. They're envious and alarmed. They speculate a popular revolt. They foresaw a terrible Roman revenge. They will lose their position. The temple will be destroyed. The nation will be ravaged. And so to protect Israel against that, they decide to kill Jesus. What Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin do not realise is that the crucifixion of Jesus is God's mean to bring the good news to all the world. In John chapter 12, he tells us that some Greeks came to worship at the feast. They tell Philip, "We would like to see Jesus." The Gentiles are beginning to seek the light of the world. When Jesus hears the Greeks ask for this, he says, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And what is that? It's his crucifixion. "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." That, as he goes on to say, is the very reason why he came. And that is to the glory of God the Father. Now, when Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," he wasn't just referring to what he was about to do for Lazarus. He was speaking of what he would do for all who believe in him. As he said earlier in John's Gospel, in chapter 5, "The time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." And so he now says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus, who was dead, becomes alive and comes out. As Jesus said it to him, and he heard, so he will say it to us and to all who believe. And we shall hear him, and we shall live. And all this, fourthly, is to the glory of God and of his Son. See, going back to chapter 5, Jesus tells us that God looks to the Son to be honoured, just as he, the Father, is honoured. And that whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. And looking ahead, the raising of Lazarus points us forward to Easter. On Good Friday, as Peter preaches on Pentecost, God's people, with the help of the Gentiles, put Jesus to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead and exalted him to his right hand. God glorifies Jesus, whom Israel crucified, as both Lord and Christ. Jesus the Son is glorified by the Father because he always does the Father's will and not his own. Because he always does what he sees his Father doing. Because he only speaks what the Father has taught him. And because the Father has not left him alone. They are bound together in one intimate relationship of trust, faithfulness, and love. And indeed in being. With Jesus always doing what pleases the Father. These are some of the things John is laying before us in this event. How might they apply to us today? Well, first of all, let's not forget Lazarus. He lived and he died, then he lived again, and he would have died again. Yet in that dying, he came into eternal life. He and his sisters and all who trust in Jesus, that his who believe in him as a life lived, not as an information fact, will live even though they die. They and we will see the glory of God in the New Jerusalem. Indeed, as living expressions of our faith in Jesus, they and we will be the glory of God in the New Jerusalem. And secondly, our resurrection future should be the shaping dynamic of our current living. It's not pie in the sky, it's provision for the earth. It's integrating our life as a whole, so we don't do spiritual on Sundays and worldly on weekends. Jesus the Christ always did what pleases the Father. As Christians, we follow him. Hence we pray for the Father's kingdom to come and the Father's will to be done now on earth as it is being done in heaven. And as Jesus, the Son of Man, did his Father's will and expressed his kingdom in pleasing him, so we, as Paul expresses it in his prayer for the Colossians, are called to live lives worthy of the Lord and which please him in every way. Indeed, as he says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, may all we do be done for the glory of God. And this is the third point. Jesus glorified his Father by his actions. But his actions expressed his deep underlying relationship. The basis of our glorifying God by our doing is our deep underlying relationship in Jesus. We are called to abide in Jesus. We are called to being. And let me confess, and it may be your confession also, that being with God often seems a lot harder than doing for God. Many of us are prone to being busy. Activity drives our living. And when it comes to being, we might just collapse into being with a television or being in the garden, or being with the family, or just being with oneself. Being with Jesus may be something that does not come high on our agenda. Yet as with the television, or the garden, or family, being with Jesus just means keeping contact with him, giving him our time and attention, our presence, shaping our daily living. And strangely, our doing can serve our being by arranging our life, by arranging prayer, by arranging silence, by arranging ourselves so that days do not pass in forgetting Jesus. Abiding in him lines up our life with him and enriches who we are as we become deeper and newer in him. And when others see the deeper, newer life in us, they may then want to know how it came about. And they may be ready to turn to Jesus. By our being with Jesus, we may bring glory to him and to the Father. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.